For people losing their sight, vision rehabilitation is vital to help them rebuild their lives and rebuild their confidence. It's a legal right for people to receive the service, but around the UK, it is a postcode lottery on how long people wait and the quality of the service they receive. Now, today, I'm joined by Ben Rendell to talk a little bit about his experience. Ben, thank you very much for joining us. What was it like for you getting vision rehabilitation? Was it an easy process to start?
In the beginning, it wasn't a positive experience for me, but it was easy to access. I had to wait a long time to get it when I first lost my sight, but I've had to go through the process of obtaining it a few times since, and have been some really good examples where it's been really easy for me to get.
So you've had quite a mixed experience then, and initially you had to wait quite a long time. It must be very difficult to kind of wait that length of time. You know, you want to sort of rebuild your life, you want the help and support. I take it really holds you back.
It definitely does. At the time, as a teenager, I wanted to get out. I wanted my independence. I didn't want to be helped by people all the time. And I just felt isolated and that I couldn't do anything for myself, and I didn't really know what the support was, but I knew I needed something, and waiting for it was really difficult.
And some local councils actually use third parties to provide the service because they find it difficult themselves to do that. Was it a council rehabilitation service, or was it through another charity?
The first one I had was through the council, although since I've had a service that was provided not by a charity but by a private company, and that was probably the most positive experience, strangely enough.
You lost your sight as a teenager. You know, that's a really crucial time when you think about education or just being around friends and family, wanting to be out and about. What kind of things were you unable to do?
Well, it was mostly getting out, to be honest, being able to just do those simple things like go to the shop with your friends or meet up at the cinema. I just really struggled because I didn't want to be seen with someone guiding me. You know, holding on to someone's arm at that age seems a bit not very cool, shall I say. So it really was the getting out. Even getting around school was difficult because I always had to have somebody with me because I just didn't feel confident enough to do it by myself anymore, because I'd had a few accidents. You know, falling down steps was my speciality at the time because I couldn't see depth, so steps were a bit of a danger.
What kind of support did you get, you know, after waiting that amount of time?
The main thing I got was help with learning how to use a long cane, so mobility training, as you might call it, around school primarily, and then around a few routes locally. But also I got some help with some independent living tasks, such as making a cup of tea, using a microwave, doing some basic cooking, really. That was kind of the main things that I got at that time, because that's what I needed.
You mentioned the mobility part of it there, it was quite important for you. What was it like using the cane for the first time and using it independently for the first time?
Once I got to the point that I wanted to use it, it was really freeing, if that's a word. I felt like I could go out by myself without fear of I was going to fall over or walk into something. And also, eventually, I came to the conclusion that it was a good symbol because people see it and they know what it means. Initially, I saw it as quite a negative thing, you know, somebody with a stick, and I thought people might kind of make fun of it or see it in a really bad way. But actually, most of the time they don't. But, you know, you don't think about that in the moment.
That waiting, though, must have been really frustrating for you to get that initial training, because it's obviously made a massive difference.
Absolutely. It's made a big, big difference to my life and being able to do what I want to do. But yeah, the waiting was really difficult because you feel like you're in this state of limbo. You can't do anything for yourself. You're relying on other people, but you are at that point in your journey where you do actually want to get on and do things. And it kind of feels like people are putting barriers in your way to you doing that, or that kind of feels a little bit sometimes like nobody cares, even though looking back, you know that they do, but you kind of feel a bit helpless and forgotten.
When did you decide that you needed more, and what form did that take?
I decided I needed more when I moved to my first flat. So I'd left college, I'd got a job, and then decided that actually this is a good time for me to start doing more for myself. And, you know, I need to be able to live independently. I didn't want to be relying on other people. So by this point, I'd actually moved to a different council area. So I approached the local council and said, this is what I need, you know, this is why I need it. But even then, I had to go through like a contact centre in the social care department, and I could have spoke to someone that didn't really know about vision impairment. So it was very difficult to kind of explain what I needed, but eventually I got to the right person, and after a few months of waiting, I got an assessment and then got some training finally.
Was that a bit frustrating again? Because if you've moved into your own place, you really want to get going as quickly as possible. That was still not 6 months, but you still had that wait as well.
I think it was more frustrating because I really wanted it at the time. I was accepting of the fact that I needed it, and I knew what it was that I needed. So it kind of felt more frustrating than the first time. And plus, because I'd made the contacts, I knew what had been said to who and when, so I knew how long I was waiting. So yeah, I definitely felt it more, I would have said, at that time.
Did you get more from this particular council then when you asked for help?
I think I did, and I'm not sure whether that was because of the service they provided or whether it was because I knew more what I wanted, but I felt like I did get more from them because I was very clear in the goals that I wanted to achieve.
And you've received help from a private company as well. That's interesting. Was that part of that training, or was that more again?
No, that was more again. So I moved again. I'm not trying to avoid anybody or anything, but I moved again, and it was a different part of the country. And again, by that point, because I'd received training a few times already, I again knew what I wanted, so I was able to ask for that. And actually, with that private company, it was really quick. I think I made a phone call initially to explain, I've moved from here to here, this is what I need. And then within a few weeks, I had an assessment over the phone, because that's what they were doing then. It was around just after COVID lockdown and things. And then a month or so later was my first like mobility session. So it was really quick. So I didn't really have time to be frustrated at the wait, to be honest.
Was that through a council, or did you go directly yourself to a company?
So that was through the council, but it was the company that provided it.
It sounds as if the service you received from the private company then was obviously quicker. What was it, better?
I don't know if it was better. It was definitely felt more together and joined up, in the sense that I was asked what I wanted. They had some clearly written like goals that I was going to achieve. So it kind of felt more efficient, I think is the word I'm looking for.
RNIB are looking for people to get involved in a petition, which is going to be coming up, and it's to put more pressure on central government to improve the vision rehabilitation services, because it is vital. Is that something that you would agree with?
Absolutely. As I've experienced, it's a total postcode lottery throughout the country as to the level of service you get, how much you get. The quality is always going to vary because each rehab officer is different, but it's more about the communication. I see it as, you know, if you're waiting for months and months and you don't hear anything, that's not really acceptable for someone who's just been diagnosed. You know, people feel forgotten about, isolated, and all sorts can happen within that time.
there are many people out there still, Ben, who are probably going through what you've been through, the long waits, perhaps maybe not the best service straight away. What would your advice be to them?
My advice would be to always chase it up. So, you know, you have a right to receive this service. Make sure you have the contact details for whoever is going to provide that support to you. And every couple of weeks, call them and just say, where am I on the list? Can I expect to have my first appointment? So, yeah, constantly staying in touch with them, because it doesn't happen the other way around, unfortunately.
Now, if you would like to find out about RNIB's campaign and information around the petition as well, do have a look at the website, rnib.org.uk, or call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. Ben, sounds as if things are going a lot better for you now, and thank you for telling us your story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.